Hi, I'm Brian, Bob's brother. Thanks for tuning in today. Well, I'd like to introduce a special guest and first-time co-host to the show, Dr. Ed. He's a friend of BEL and a personal friend of mine. Dr. Ed, it's an honor to have you here. So, Doc, what are we going to share with the listeners today?
Well, let me say first, Brian, it's a real blessing for me to be here. I'm usually doing surgery about this time of the day, listening to Bob Enyard live, and it always blesses me, and I get insight, so it's nice to be on the other side of the mic. It's the first time for me, and I'm certainly very blessed to be here. And but before we get into all that, can we start with a song, one that I recorded last night?
Sure. I had no idea that you were musically inclined.
Well, I shouldn't take all the credit. My dad had me take accordion lessons for the last 10 years, but I have to say this is one of my best ever.
Well, let's listen in.
This doesn't quite sound right, Brian.
Hey, that's Tony Bennett.
Tony!
That was recorded.
I left my heart in San Francisco. Boy, Brian, I'm not going to take the credit for that one.
Well, did you actually bring a song? Did you actually record a song last night?
And I really would like to introduce it to you in its proper form.
All right, well, let's try one more time, and let's see if we can get this song down and get it right. We got it. We got the song. All right.
Yeah, I'd really like to hear the song.
Let's listen to the song.
There you go. A song that'll bless us all.
Is that an accordion?
No, it's a blessing.
Protect me, I rest in your care.
Well, Doc, that was beautiful. But when you said you recorded that song, I assumed.
Well, I have to admit that wasn't the accordion solo that I had planned, but it was certainly a blessing. And, well, Brian, you know what they say about...
Okay, Doc, I get the point. Well, maybe that would be a good topic for today's show. You know, with all the diversity and complexity of life, and with so many worldviews literally slamming into one another, it seems more important than ever to choose our words carefully so that we're not misunderstood. Which reminds me of a conversation I had with a neighbor of mine.
Brian, is this going to be a long story? Because if it is, I really need to relax and settle back in my easy chair.
Well, let me begin this story by first thanking many of you who have stepped out of your homes, out of your church seats, out of your neighborhoods, and for most of you, well outside of your comfort zones, to deal with a life and death issue head on. I have been honored to meet dozens of you, some total introverts, hitting the streets, talking to tens, hundreds, and in some case, even thousands of people.
Wait a second. Did you start the story yet?
Oh, yeah. I'll get to that in a moment.
What were we talking about anyway, Brian?
Well, I learned from many of you present-day saints, and today I'd like to share with you some of my experiences, recollections, insights, and memories. Well, I was given the opportunity and the privilege to stand together with many of you on street corners, gathering signatures.
Brian, can we get back to the story?
I'm getting there, Doc. Most of you are familiar with the personhood issue by now. But for those who are not, we Coloradans need approximately 76,000 signatures from our neighbors and friends in order to put a crucial question before the voters.
A light just went off, Brian. We're talking about the personhood amendment, right?
Exactly.
But what about the story with your neighbor?
All right. Let me tell you the conversation I had with this fella who lives near me and how I challenged him to be honest in describing himself and his beliefs. Well, I approached him while he sat on his front porch. I had my personhood petition and my trusty pen in hand, and I had remembered all I had been taught by so many of you who have been in this battle much longer than I have. So I was ready.
So what happened next?
I'm getting there. We exchanged pleasantries, and then I got to the point. I told him I was a petition circulator and asked him if he would agree to sign a pro-life petition to protect the preborn, the unborn in Colorado. I explained that we were attempting to amend or to change our state constitution, and we hoped to put a simple question on the ballot, and that we needed 76,000 registered voters to sign it in order to have it included on the ballot. My neighbor, well, I'll call him Mr. Unashamed, explained that he was not a U.S. citizen, and therefore he wasn't a registered voter, but that if he was, he would still not sign my petition because he was pro-choice, and he was proud of it. Well, in the past, I would have thanked him and retreated back to my house. But some time ago, I decided that the phrase that I'd been taught right here in Colorado by many of our leaders, no child killing with tranquility, needed to take hold in my life and even more so on my block.
Yeah, it's hard to be tranquil under those circumstances, Brian. So did you let him have it right there?
Well, not exactly. Though I did ask him if he would consider stating his position more accurately. As being pro-abortion, rather than pro-choice. I explained to him that I was pro-life and believed that life begins at conception and should be protected from the very start. But I still considered myself pro-choice. Well, he looked puzzled. I explained that I believe a woman should have the right to choose whether or not to become pregnant, but that if she became pregnant, she had effectively made her choice, and now she needed to respond in a mature and responsible way. I mentioned to him that we could not possibly both be pro-choice, and since I certainly was not against a woman's right to choose, I challenged him to admit and to state that he was pro-abortion. I thanked him for his time, and I left.
That's quite some story, and it's one that's familiar to all of us. I believe we've all come across that same circumstance when we're out there sharing. It's an honor to be out there in the field and collecting signatures and talking with people and hearing their stories and their whys and wherefores. Certainly there's a conflict in worldview out there. You can see certainly where some people are coming from. Those of us that have a Christian worldview certainly understand very vividly and clearly that life does begin at the moment conception. We were created in the image of our God, but we have to understand that the secular humanists, the people that are godless, don't have any basis for that. We're a cosmic accident. We're in this postmodern era where there are no absolutes. And so we as Christians believe that life absolutely begins at the moment of conception, where those that oppose that, believing that life is just a random set of chemical circumstances, so why not abort it at any particular point? When I was in school, especially back in comparative anatomy, we had a phrase that was termed ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, and that meant basically that as a mother, as a child is in its mother's womb, it repeats all the stages from a single cell organism all the way to the birth of a baby. And so, at a certain stage, it's a fish. There's gill slits, apparent gill slits, in the pharyngeal area, and they looks just like a fish. And so we kill fish, don't we? So it becomes a very logical explanation. Certainly not a very scientific one, though.
Well, could we ask people to call in with their own personal personhood petition stories? The number here is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-369-2278.
Brian, I understand you. Oh, did you get the phone number out?
Yes, I did.
Was that clear? Okay.
We got it.
I understand you've attended a tea party lately. Those are becoming quite... you've attended a tea party. Those are becoming quite popular lately. Have you run across any? I would imagine you meet people on both sides of it. Has been more pro-life, pro-choice.
Well, the last tea party I went to was maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago down at the Capitol, and I was surprised to see how many people were actually pro-life. Mm-hmm. I would say a full 80% of the people down there were not only pro-life but would sign our petition. But that leads me to one woman that I asked to sign the petition.
Yeah, you were mentioning her when we were over at your house for dinner the other night. I think that's an interesting story. Why don't you share that with us?
Well, I call her the Tea Party Lady, and I asked her if she would sign my pro-life petition to protect the preborn in Colorado, which is my, you know, my shtick. And she said that she wanted to read the wording. Mm-hmm. So most people don't say they want to read the wording, but I gave her the petition and she read through it and she said, she handed it back to me and she said, I can't sign this. And I said, you're not pro-life. She said, no, I consider myself very pro-life, but I don't like the wording. So I asked her what part of the wording she'd like changed, and she mentioned, well, I would like it to say something about individual DNA. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm glad that I got to talk to you today. And let me mention to you that I said, you say you're pro-life. What I'm going to say to you now has nothing to do with you signing my petition. And the reason is I'm not going to let you sign this petition. I said, so relax and see what you think about this. I said, if some of our – you said you didn't like the wording. I said, what if we had the wording correct, but what if we misspelled? What if we used your wording, but we misspelled some of the words, or some of the punctuation was wrong, or we forgot a comma at the end, or we forgot a question mark? I said, would you still not sign this? And would you still stay on the side of the pro-abortion people, even though you say you're pro-life? She said, all right, I'm gonna sign your petition. And I said, no, you can't sign my petition because, you know, I told you, you can't sign it. So I said, if you say you're pro-life, this is what you need to do. I said, there are other people here who are petition circulators. You need to find one of them, and you need to sign this petition. And then you need, in November of 2010, to get to the voting place, and you need to vote yes on the personhood amendment because you say you're pro-life. And so you should live – you should live that.
Yeah, it's sad that she got so hung up on the letter of the petition rather than the spirit of the petition. And that's what we need to go out with. People need to hear the fervency in our voice. They need to hear the strength of our conviction. And most of all, they need to know that we believe what we're saying. And I think that holds true in everything in our Christian walk. What about do we have any callers yet?
Yes, we do have a caller on the line. Let's take – hello?
Hello, Brian. Hi, Dr. Ed.
Well, that's a familiar voice.
Who is this?
This is Connie.
Oh, Connie from Arvada.
Bob's mom.
Oh, Bob's mom. Hey, that makes you my mom, too.
I think I saw you out on the tennis courts the other day.
Hi, Mom. How are you?
Well, listening to the show, I thought I'd call in with the story that happened yesterday morning. You know, I play tennis, so I decided to bring my petitions to tennis.
Okay.
And so now we're going on the court, and I thought, I don't think it's a good idea to ask them to sign this. In case they're pro-choice, what kind of a game are we going to have? They'll be hostile to me.
And, so they have tennis rackets too, right?
Right. So I said, I saw after the game, you know, after 2 hours of playing, I did, we were talking, the group, and I said, would you girls sign my personhood amendment petition? And they said, well, what is this? I explained, and the one girl signed it. The other girl said, oh, no. And I said, oh, and she goes, oh, you mean pro-life? I'll sign it. Well, that was great. Two signatures out of three. The third one said, I'm not going to sign it. I was raped.
Oh, boy.
With little tears in her eyes.
Oh, dear.
I said, wait a minute. You're not going to sign it. I said, you know what happens when a girl is raped? You know, in the United States, we give the rapist housing, medical, recreation, basketball, whatever.
Yeah.
And what do we do to the baby? We kill the poor, innocent baby.
Death penalty.
And after hearing that, she said, I'll sign it.
Wow.
I was so excited. I hugged her.
Did she say that she had actually become pregnant from the rape?
She didn't. I didn't question her about the rape.
Yeah.
She looked like she was sad. But the main thing is she signed it. And
that's unreal.
I mentioned to her about Jesus.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me, and thank you for calling in, Connie.
Okay.
Don't hang up. I want to relate a similar story when Brian finishes here.
That reminds me of someone that I see frequently out gathering signatures, Leslie Hank. She's actually the co-sponsor of the Personhood Amendment, and she's taught me not to give up even when people make excuses. She doesn't take no for an answer. Now, Leslie does not get in anyone's face, and she is not rude in any way.
No.
But when people are going into a convention center and they're late, and they say, and they'll say, well, I'm pro-life. I've heard them say, I'm pro-life, but I'm late. She'll say, would you please just take a moment? Please just take a moment and sign this petition to get this question on the ballot for the babies. Please, just a moment. And it's amazing to me that when that woman said to you that she was raped, that You didn't give up. You didn't give up. And it seems to me that if we're going to get this done in Colorado and in this country, it's going to take a lot of people like you and Leslie who are not going to take no for an answer, not going to back down. We don't need to be rude, but we need to be persistent. And
right.
That's...
Well, Dr. Ed, I know you have something else
to
say.
No,
May I just add one thing?
Surely.
This morning, my husband and I went to McDonald's, and we're having our coffee and reading something very interesting that Bob is doing that's going to be launched on this Monday, the 16th, on the Internet. But I see a booth full of these older gentlemen, and I said, hun, I'm going to go there with my petition.
Who are you calling hun now?
my honey, Al.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Mom and Pops.
So anyway, I went out to the car, got my petition, and I went to the gentleman. I said, may I interrupt your conversation? And they said, sure. You know, it's so easy
it is.
To do this.
That's
people
what I
like
found.
Talk.
It's an act of love, isn't it, Connie?
You know, different people. They get bored with the same people.
It does.
They all signed it.
Yeah, I found that it actually, you know, in our closed society, it's a great conversation starter. I took my petition to the golf course yesterday, and the starter had a hat on that it said for, you know, F-O-R-E, little play on words, Jesus. So I thought, there's a guy that'll sign my petition, and that was no problem whatsoever. But I don't get real wordy. As a veterinarian, it's easy for me to say to a client after we've just talked about their pet and we've just okayed surgery and whatnot, and it's easy to say because we've developed a rapport. You know, life begins at the moment of conception. Don't you believe that? And they'll shake their head yes, and I'll say, and I'll have my petition right there and say,
that's a setup, and, Doc.
No,
that's a
it's
setup.
Not. It really is from the heart. Like I said, if people hear our conviction and they hear that they know that we believe what we believe, it's a relatively easy signature to obtain. And so I would just really exhort, you know, our walk is to exhort and to comfort one another. And so I would say, take that petition out there to let you know that you are doing the Lord's will. All of us can do something, and this is something that we all have the ability to do.
So, Doc, you also have the personhood petition at your office?
I take it everywhere with me. It's in my briefcase. You know, I do a lot of consults. And
you know what would be great, Doc? If we can register cats and dogs.
You know, that
I would guarantee most would sign the petition. What do you think? Well, would they be pro-life?
I believe, you know, they love running around just free just like we do. Most of the clients that I deal with certainly love life, love their pets, and are very amiable and amicable in signing the petition.
Thanks for calling in. Bye, Connie from Arvada. Well, last year, Colorado lit a fire under personhood, and now that fire has spread throughout the country. And we must not let it die. Though we did not get the majority vote last year, we did together accomplish great things. So would you please take this message of personhood, want to give the right that's inalienable from our Creator, the right to life. We want to give that to the preborn. So would you please take this message to your friends, to your neighbors, to your pastors, to your priests? Be persistent. Don't be rude, but be persistent. I've learned this from many of the women leaders in this whole personhood movement. I've learned it from Connie from Arvada. She happens to be my mom, but I've learned it from Leslie Hanks, who's the co-sponsor of the bill. It's just amazing to see the people who will get up and they'll speak out for these babies, people who would normally be timid and afraid to speak to total strangers, and they'll get up and they'll speak about these life and death issues. You can equip yourself with the knowledge you need to feel prepared by reading the book, Why Pro-Life. It's by Randy Alcorn. It's a short read. But you don't need to be an expert to get a petition and go get your own signatures. You just need a heart for the preborn. You need to memorize a one or two sentence pitch and have a pen on hand. The conversations you'll have may not be all sweet, but if you're anything like the people that I've met, you'll love every minute of it.
Well, folks, we've got 1 year to get this done. We need to do it diligently. We can't do everything, but there's certainly something each and every one of us can do. And so the question is, we all need to have on our hearts, just use me today, Lord. Place it on my heart to get out there every day. And we all have an extra moment. We all meet people that come across that we can talk to and spend a few moments. We all can do this. And together, collectively, we can do a lot. We can accomplish far more together as the body of Christ.
Now, Doc, you said that we have a year to get this done. And what you're talking about is voting yes for the personhood amendment next November.
Correct.
But we really only have till February, from what I understand.
I didn't realize that.
We only have till February to gather the signatures and to get the question on the ballot.
That really is a short fuse, isn't it?
That's a short fuse. So we have most of November, December, January. So we have about 3.5 months left.
So let's don't procrastinate. Let's get out there. What I do every day is I commit to getting 5 signatures, and it's just amazing. The Lord will usually bring those 5 people. I just have to open my eyes and look.
You know, our discussion today reminds me of a conversation that I had with this fella. I was actually on a job, and I'm a contractor, and I was doing a job for a customer, and we started talking about personhood, and I had my petition in the truck, and I wanted him to sign it, and he told me that he was a pro-abortion, so he wouldn't sign my petition, and he had 4 or 5 cats in his house, and I knew he was a cat lover. So an hour or so passed, and I asked him about the kittens. And I said, you know, I have a cat home and the cat is pregnant. And what do I do? I don't want these kittens, because he had told me that babies, preborn human babies are better off dead if they're not wanted. And he said, well, you can't hurt a cat. And I said, well, you just told me
exactly
that an unwanted baby should be killed. It's better for the baby.
Yeah.
So he said, I'm a hypocrite. Am I not? And I said, yeah, you are a hypocrite.
Yeah, I deal with the same thing. I use stem cells in orthopedics. And when I asked that same question, you know, would it be okay if I went over to the shelter and took the lives of 10 puppies to get a bone graft for your dog? Would that be okay? And it's appalling to people.
People get it right away.
They
don't
get
they?
It right away.
They get
I
it
mean,
right
they
away.
Turn white.
Well, would you please pick up a pen and a Post-it and write a simple question with us today, November 10th, 2009? We've got 1 year to get this done. Please just write, "What can I do?" Or, "Use me, Lord." Amen. You can do something, and together we can do a lot. Can we end with another song, Doc?
Yeah, you know, this is one that I'd like to say I recorded last night, but you know what?
That accordion is amazing.
I think you've seen through me.
And your falsetto is just outstanding.
Well, maybe on the next you know, BEL show, I'll bring my accordion and just show you my stuff here.
All right. All right. Well, that'll be hard on the radio. But can we end with a song that Doc recorded last night? That sounds like a flute to me, Doc.
That's beautiful. I certainly can't emulate that on my accordion. So I want to really exhort you, tune in BL tomorrow. We have a really special guest.
Hey, Doc, let's surprise him. Let's surprise him who it is. But tune in. He'll be excellent. And we'd like to say goodbye to all of you. And I'm going to use Ken Scott's parting words. I talk to him once or twice a week on the phone, and he always ends with the same exact phrase. God bless you. Goodbye.